Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is 9:39. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. And it's a pleasure to welcome into the program, as we have done just about all year long, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, or as I like to call him now, my vaccinated friend. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
So you got the Pfizer vaccine earlier this week, right?
Yes, I did. I got the Pfizer vaccine on Thursday afternoon, so pretty exciting times.
And, any kind of reaction? Is it like, what I've read mostly is it's like getting the reaction for most people is like a flu shot. Your arm is a little bit sore. That's about it, pretty much, right?
Yeah, the thousands that we gave, we had very few people who had any interactions whatsoever. So I had a little bit of a sore arm, but really nothing. I had no fever, no body aches, no fatigue. It was less than a flu shot for me.
And you don't feel any different, lethargic, tired? Do you feel like Superman now that, you know, you can bend steel with your bare hands?
Yeah, actually, I talked to one of the other doctors who got it, and he said, yeah, I leapt over a big building today. So.
Right. It's quite a thing. Now, what do you make of some of the stories that we've heard of it sounds like allergic reactions, and one medical facility in particular where four people came down with pretty severe reactions, so much so that they stopped giving the vaccines till they could figure out, do we have a bad batch? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think we're all being, I don't want to say overcautious, but we're being very careful. So Advocate Condell up in Libertyville noticed four people that had reactions, stopped doing the vaccinations, and then reviewed those four cases and found that it really probably wasn't a reaction. And they're going to start vaccinating again today.
If it wasn't a reaction, what might it have been from four different people?
Yeah, so they got increased heart rates. So whether there was anxiety related to it, whether they had somewhat of a small reaction, but nothing to a point where we're going to say, hey, stop this.
Nothing to the point to say that this is related to the vaccines that we're giving. And I think speaks very highly to their process that there is that follow-up, that they're following people's reactions when they get the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has to realize that when we get the vaccine now with healthcare givers, we give them a website to go to track and to tell the CDC of any reactions that they're having. So we have very close monitoring on all those people.
So when you get your vaccine, when anybody gets their vaccine, do you make an appointment then for your second vaccine at a certain date? How does the follow-up work with that?
Correct. So all the healthcare systems right now are pretty much doing it the same way. We're going to be very tight because we want to make sure we stay within the requirements and the recommendations of the vaccine. So I got my vaccination. I walked out the hall, made my appointment for 21 days later, and I have my time and date for my next for the second shot.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, the first shipments of the Moderna vaccine are being loaded up on trucks this morning and will begin distribution. What's the difference between the Moderna vaccine and the one that you got, the Pfizer vaccine?
Yeah, probably the best thing about the Moderna vaccine is that it doesn't have to be stored at minus 70 degrees. Because of that storage requirement, there's only limited places that could accept the vaccine and hold the vaccine. Where the Moderna vaccine can be kept in a standard medical freezer. So it's definitely going to be better for nursing homes, rural communities that they don't have these high-tech ultra-cold freezers. So really looking forward to really a wider base now that we can deliver the vaccine to.
And is it also a two-step process for the Moderna vaccine as well?
Yep, two shots. Moderna is a little different. The Pfizer is 21 days. The Moderna is 28 days. The big one that we're really waiting for the results on is obviously going to be the Johnson & Johnson, which is a single shot.
And when are we expecting that?
We expect the results from Johnson & Johnson probably, I would imagine, the week of January 4th.
Okay.
They're compiling it right now. And then AstraZeneca should be very close to the same time, just based on the holiday schedule.
And they're still doing the testing on it. So does that mean they do not know the efficacy, the effectiveness of these two up-and-coming vaccines?
Yeah, they have a really good idea, but they can't obviously say anything until the study is done. So the way that they do these is they immunize an arm with placebo and immunize an arm with vaccine. And then what they do is they look for who gets the infections. So if 100 people got it in the placebo and only 5% got it in the vaccination arm, you know that it's highly, highly effective.
Okay. So once somebody is vaccinated, can they start running around without a mask and not exercise social distancing? I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't wait to get vaccinated so we can go back to normal. Can we go back to normal?
No, by the time we get to doing the general public, we'll have a much better idea. So the Pfizer vaccine didn't look at the potential of being an asymptomatic carrier. It showed that you would not get symptoms, but we didn't show that it would stop infection. Hope everybody understands that. We know a lot of asymptomatic people right now that have the infection but don't have symptoms. So AstraZeneca is looked at it. And Moderna showed that 66% of those who got the vaccine were non-carriers going forward. So that's very promising.
Let me take a break. We'll come back and get to your questions for Dr. Most. Wanted to also ask you about this new strain that is pretty much shutting down the United Kingdom this morning. We'll talk more with Dr. Kevin Most in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, 312-981-7200, WGN. All I want for 950, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. So, Kevin, I'm watching the news, and I'm seeing stories of a new strain of COVID-19 that is affecting London and the UK right now. What can you tell us about this? Are we in for, a second strain?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest concerns. You know, we knew this mutated in June, and now we're seeing a follow-up mutation here that's only really been noted in the UK. So you probably have seen Boris Johnson saying, hey, let's not travel. Let's kind of shut this down. The one good thing I will say about the mutation is that it doesn't impact the vaccines that we have developed. We know that the vaccines are a specific spike protein that they're looking at, and that did not change in this mutation.
So the vaccines are effective against this second wave as well, should it come this way?
Correct. So, you know, the mutation that we had in June, where we saw that it was much more contagious, but not as virulent. And remember this summer, we had a lot of cases, but not a lot of hospitalizations. And then now in the fall, we've seen that creep up. But that mutation that happened in June was very good for us because we were getting crushed so much in the spring.
Here's Henry on the line at 312-981-7200. Henry, you're on WGN. Hello. Henry, are you there? Okay, we're having a problem with the phone system to get Henry on the air. There he is. Henry, are you there?
Hey. Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Dr. Most, what happens if someone gets the first shot, like for some reason they take a stupid pill and don't get the second shot? Look, I'm just curious. Henry, I know there's going to be people out there that are going to do this.
Henry, that is one of our biggest concerns. When we look at people, and even for something, say, the shingle shot, you get it, and boy, you say, oh, man, this hurts so much, I'm going to forget about that second shot. So we know that individuals who get this vaccine start to get some immunity immediately, when I say immediately, within a week of getting it. And we know that that first vaccine is going to get you maybe about 60% protected. I think I've seen 62 to 65. The booster is really what's going to get you to that 95. So we're really going to hope that everybody follows up with both of them. And hopefully those stupid pills run out of stock right around the time we start to vaccinate.
Yeah, I got to say, I bought most of those stupid pills, by the way. I stocked up the last time I was at Walgreens. Sorry about that, everyone.
Dr. Mo, you still there?
Yes, yes, I can hear you, yes.
Okay, I'm just curious. When do you think the average Joe is going to be able to get it? Like in 2025 or... when do you think I'll be able to get it?
No, Henry. I mean, you look at the production rates right now and look at the way that we're going to roll this out. I would say that the general public is going to be tax day, maybe a little bit after tax day this year. So, you know, we're looking at production rates right now to really get these first line, front line workers done probably January, February. Then we'll go into those tier two, which are going to be teachers. They're going to be essential workers, firefighters, police. And then really after that, we hopefully they'll roll it out to those over the age of 65 that are still living outside of a nursing home facility. And then it'll be the public right after that. And I think if the production rates keep up and we get two more vaccines approved, I think we're going to be looking at April, May, and you'll see a big rollout across the country.
Well, let's
hope. In time for baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yep. Henry, and outdoor dining. Yep.
Yeah, we're just in time for that. Henry, thanks for the call. This is Josh. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for if somebody is a police officer, you know, is it really safe to be working right now? Because if they come in contact with somebody that has COVID-19, and then they could spread it, and then they could spread it. Then that officer could get it.
Sure. And Josh, it's one of the reasons that the frontline safety, whether they're firefighters or police officers, are going to be in this next tier to get them protected as much as they can. We really want to make sure that the officers are wearing masks. And now we know that when they come up to somebody or they have an interaction, that individual may not be wearing a mask, but they have been taught protective measures as well as to minimize the time that they're in front of these individuals. So certainly they're at a higher risk, and that's why we're going to put them right into that tier two as the next wave to do to get vaccine. And that next wave could be as early as a few weeks from now.
You know, the everybody is so optimistic because of the rollout of the vaccines. And, you know, people are talking about that instead of day-to-day protection, which still needs to be the number one concern right now, right?
100%.
I've ventured out now that I'm past my quarantine period. And I'm amazed at the grocery store of people who are still not wearing masks, not wearing them properly, down around their chin, not covering their nose, crowding around people. We say it over and over and over again, but that is the number one thing now for the vast majority of people is still taking those precautions, right?
100%. I can tell you that, you know, morale has obviously turned the corner. I can tell you, especially in the hospital systems that are doing these vaccinations, you can see morale lifting because we're starting to see a potential end to this. But what we all have to realize is that about 5% of the country has been infected, I will say, and has some protection. We need to get to 75% before we can lose these masks. So we have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
But we just need to know that now is going to be the time to wear the mask, educate yourself about the vaccine, because we still have about 40% of people saying, I don't want to take the vaccine. The beauty of it is that hopefully they say, I'm going to take it later. Well, later, maybe 6 months from now, when it's open to them anyways. So we will have so much more information on its safety, its side effect profile, that right. hopefully we're going to see people lining up for this.
Do people have to sign up in order to, you know, get in line for the vaccine? How does that work? I mean, I know we're taking care of healthcare workers and first responders and police and firemen and nursing homes and, you know, like that. But how does the average person, do they have to contact their doctor and say, put me down on the list?
That's the unknown at this time, is how the government's going to roll it out after these first two phases, when they roll it out to the general public. Will they stratify it there? In other words, that the doctor will have to write an order or call to make an appointment at a Walgreens or a CVS. That's the unknown right now, because really when it comes out, if you can bring it out in a rolling effect, that still makes the most sense. Let's make sure that the doctors know that patients with diabetes get it first, with COPD, with any lung disease get it. You know, and if they have to have an order initially before we roll it out to the entire general public, that would certainly make more sense. But we have not heard yet how it will be distributed from the federal government, who has purchased all these vaccines.
Yeah. I just want to mention the 773 area code texting in. Dean, I'm about 5 weeks older than you. I got diagnosed with COVID on Friday. Hearing your journey helped me not to panic. So, well, thank you. Thank you very much, you know, for that. And that's really what this is about, Kevin, right? It's just about sharing this information so we're armed with the best information that we can. I'm glad that my experience can help other people, you know, feel less scared when they get the information. But that's from getting information from you, you know, and doctors.
Well, yes, and from you. You are a trusted voice in this community, obviously. And when people hear what you went through, and now they're hearing you, boy, he sounds the same. He still has the same energy. I see him on TV and radio, and he's the hardest working person. Boy, he got through this, and he's my age. That is really, you know, reassuring to a lot of people. That is along with us talking about the vaccine and talking about, boy, if you get symptoms that are worsening, what should you do? So, you know, I think you've been a great source of information over the entire year. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on and share my thoughts.
Well, I'm glad that you're nice enough to do it. I want, you know, if everyone wants to say thank you, put your mask on properly. That's the best way to say thank you to any. That's the best way to say Merry Christmas to anybody this year.